And so we are in our Eyes Wide Open series. And so Pastor Ted spoke on the first week, just being aware of the end times. And so thank you for whoever, there's a water for me. Hopefully that's mine and not Brandon's. And so so it's good to be in the house of God. And so he talked about being wide open to the things of the Lord and just being aware that we are in birthing pains and being aware of the times. And as I was reading, and we've just been catching, you know, there's a storm. What is it, Beta now? Or I don't even know, how do you get to these kind of storms in your life? You know, like where you get out of the actual alphabet and you go into the storms. There was an earthquake in Los Angeles over the weekend, 4.6, which is not terrible. There were just things that are happening in our country, in our world. I don't know if you know this, but in Iowa, which is the north of us, and a major corn producer in our nation, about a month or two ago, no one reported about this. We were reporting about other things, but there was actually windstorms that ripped through the northern part of Iowa and ripped through $4 billion worth of corn crops. And so $4 billion. And so as you can imagine, that's going to be a problem because we will not have corn next year. That also feeds some of China. And in China, in one of the provinces, there was a swarm, just like there were swarm of locusts in Africa, there was that swarm then moved over to China and devoured the corn that was in China as well. And so we would know that we are in the end times. I don't know where we're at. I have no clue. In fact, my heart in this series was like, Ted, you're going to preach it all, because I am not a prophet. I don't understand all of the revelations that God has given through Daniel and Revelation and Ezekiel. I'm not that person. So I will just forewarn you, I am not that person. But I don't know anything, but I do know the stance that we are to be having. I don't know a time. I don't know a specific thing that's going on. All I know is that we are to be ready when he comes back. And I know what that looks like. And so today, we are going to call this sermon called Wake Up and Be Ready. So turn to your neighbor and say, wake up and be ready. Wake up and be ready. I love that, right? It's fun to wake people up. My husband's dad, he used to wake up his kids with a pot and pan. My mom would always pull the blinds. You know, it was aggravating when my mom would come into the building and boom, son, and get up. You know, she wasn't nice about it. And so we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 24, Matthew and chapter 24. We're going to be going to verse 36. But before, as you're turning there, let me talk to you for a little bit about what it looked like to have the Bible written, because this is going to be so essential to our sermon today. So whenever Jesus resurrected back up into the skies, the disciples, the prophets, the apostles, those who had seen the wonders of God, were waiting anxiously for his return. Because Jesus himself said, hey, not most of you will not die before you see my return. You will not have a physical death. And so they're waiting for the return. And so therefore, they're not really writing down the written words of God. Instead, they're telling each other. And from that, there began to be these Q letters. We call them quell letters. I just gave you a little bit of Bible history. So the quell letters began to circulate, and they would tell of the stories of Jesus, of the parables of Jesus, of the miracles of Jesus. And so as they were writing these letters, eventually about 80 to 85 after the death of Jesus, they said, hey, let's start writing them down. Aren't you glad they wrote some of these letters down for us? And so the first person to write that down was Mark, which is out of order in our Bible. And so if you're looking for these letters, the book of Mark was actually written before Matthew, Luke, and John. So Mark was written, and from Mark, Matthew and Luke came. That's why they're the same. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. That means that they have a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same miracles. And so you see that these three sort of correlate to each other. Now, Matthew's gospel was unique in that while he was writing to the Jews, he was also writing to a universal church, a diverse church. Amen. Those are good, right? So a diversity in the church. And he was trying to prove that Jesus was a greater Moses, because in that time, Jewish people would have understood Moses to be a great prophet. In fact, if you think about the sermons inside of the book of Matthew, are really five sermons. The first sermon you might know, the Sermon on the Mount, it's 5, 6, and 7. And so when you see the Sermon on the Mount, that's the first sermon. There's four more that continue after it. Why? To prove again that Jesus was a better Moses. And we can agree to that, but in that time, Moses was the thing. And so what Moses had 5 books of the Bible. You remember them? First 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, I need help, right? And Deuteronomy. So you see those 5 books at the same time Jesus' 5 sermons. So Matthew is trying to look at this from a point of that Jesus was the Messiah that you have been waiting for. He is the one that we have been waiting for. And so Matthew presents Jesus as a greater Moses. And the chapters that we're looking at, now again, the chapters in your Bible, like those big numbers like 24 that you just turned to, were not included until the 1600s. So whenever these letters were written, they weren't written by chapter and by verse. They put those in when it was translated from Greek into English so that we could have a starting point. We would know where to start. But when the letter was written, it was written like a letter you would write to your friend or to the church. And so the letters were this. And so what happens is sometimes things go missing whenever we look at a certain chapter or a certain verse. And today, we want to sort of look at the entirety of the last sermon of Jesus. It's called the Olivet Sermon. And so we're looking at 24 and 25 as a complete look at what Jesus is saying about wake up and be ready. So today we're going to start in some parts of 24, actually verse 36, and then we're going to move into Matthew chapter 25. So here we go. You ready? Here we go. In verse 36, it says that, but concerning the day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So the only person that can tell us of the timing of Jesus' return is who? God. And so if you hear of someone else saying, oh, God's here or Jesus is here, don't believe it, because we're waiting for the Father. It says in verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, there was eating and drinking and marrying. We have a marriage this weekend. We're excited. And giving in marriage. Amen. Somebody clap. Until the day when Noah entered the ark and they were unaware. Now, you don't want to be caught unaware, but these were unaware until the flood came and they swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So it's almost as if the replication of the time of Noah, Jesus is saying there's a time coming like that when we will be giving and taking and marrying and burying. We will be doing these things, yet we could be unaware that the Son of Man is coming back. In verse 40, it says this. 2 men will be in the field. 1 will be taken away and 1 left. 2 women will be grinding at the mill. 1 will be taken and 1 will be left. And so there's always this idea. Here's what Jesus is saying is going to happen. It's not an if. It's not a but. It's not an or. It's Jesus himself says these things are going to happen. Be ready. Be aware. Be waiting for someone to be, right, snapped into the rapture. My kids ask me, hey, when's the rapture happening, Mom? And I said, closer. We're one day closer to the rapture than we were yesterday. Be aware. Be ready. Be alert. And so here, as we read in verse 42, continue reading, we know what's going to happen. Here's what you should do about it. So I like that. Like, tell me what's going to happen, but also tell me what I need to do. That's all. Just tell me what I need to do. So in verse 42, it says this, therefore, everybody say therefore. Now you got to check out what is it there for. Therefore, stay awake. Everybody say stay awake. So the idea is that we're, because of this, because of the rapture, because of the coming of Christ, that we are to stay awake. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So again, Jesus tells us what's going to happen. Then he's saying, this is what you should do about it. You should be awake. You should be ready. You should be living as if any day or any moment is the time that we should be living awake, or woke, as we like to say nowadays, and that we would be ready. And so here's what happens, and we need to keep on reading it. It says in verse 45, if you will keep reading, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them the food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing. Again, if you're underlining, just underline that you would be so doing when he comes. So we know what's going to happen. We know what we should do about it, but then we actually see what happens. In verse 47, he says, truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants. I mean, this guy knew Christ, knew of the coming, knew that it was coming, and yet he beats his fellow servants. He eats and drinks with drunkards. He says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces. Let me read that to you again in verse 51. And he, now this is out of the mouth of Jesus. It says, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Biblically, this verse makes me nervous. I get nervous when I read these kind of verses, because no one talks about a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. No one talks about a master cutting into pieces, because that's not really a 2020, if you would. And so the thing is that it's almost as if you had it, but you don't have it anymore. And I believe we are saved, and that is, and we make mistakes, and that we have times, as we see, where we are sleeping, but that does not mean that we turn away from the Lord, that we don't go away and do our own thing and hang out with our own people and sort of deny what Christ has done on the inside. And so you see, Jesus is saying, you had it, but you don't have it anymore. You followed, but you don't follow anymore. You were awake and ready, but you aren't anymore. Do you know somebody like that? They were awake, they were ready, they were following Christ, they were running with their relationship with God, and then all of a sudden, something came in the way. Some kind of thing, I don't know, a tragedy, some kind of person, a distraction, an addiction came into their life, and now they don't even serve the Lord. They don't even acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I know people like that, that were stronger and steadier than I ever was, and now you don't even know that they're a believer. Jesus says that can happen. You were awake, but you aren't. And so you're left with this feeling, yes, God, there's going to be a rapture. I know what I should do about it, and I realize that some will be ready and some will not. Now, this is important, because Jesus doesn't stop at the end of chapter 24. Jesus continues with the story. So he's in the middle of his sermon. He says, maybe you don't get it. Maybe you didn't understand what I just said. So let me tell a story. Now, I love stories. I'm a great storyteller. You can ask my kids. They ask me to tell stories, and I will tell a story for 2 hours, and it will be so ridiculous, and then my kids will try to make me say it the next day, and I don't remember a word I said, but it's really good. That's all I know. So Jesus is the same way. Aren't you glad that you serve a storytelling God? And so I like stories, because it makes sense to me. So sometimes I just don't get it. Like, I don't care if I have a college education or not. I don't get it, so tell me a story, and then it makes sense. And so Jesus, in the middle of his sermon, his Olivet sermon, says to the people that are listening, maybe you didn't get what I just said, so let me tell you a story. And so in verse 25, here's what he says. He says, or chapter 25 rather, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And right away we're like, what? We don't even know what that means, because in those days they were waiting for the bridegroom. And so this is a picture story that the virgins would be an example of us, the church, and that there would be a bridegroom coming, whom is Jesus. And so just to get that picture correct, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who had their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now notice the church is to meet Jesus, right? We're to be awake. Didn't he just tell us that? To be ready, that we are ready for the time, that we are representing Christ, that we are not affiliated with the world. Look at verse 2. It says this, 5 of them were very foolish and 5 were very wise. So in the middle of the church coming to meet the bridegroom, there were some people that were ready and there were some people that were not. In this case, 5 of the ladies were ready and 5 were not. And it says, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Now, this past week, we had a wreck hit our house, not our house, but our neighborhood, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, all the electricity's out of our house, and so 5 o'clock, my son, he has to go to, he has to catch the bus, and he has to take a really long time to get ready, and so he's sitting there, and like, we don't have electricity, so I get a candle, right, and I light it, and I bring it to his room, and like, here's your mom, she's sweet, and so we bring it into the room, and he takes a shower, and then my other son has to get up a little later, and basically, we don't use candles anymore. We don't understand the principle of a lamp. So I thought, well, let's just get a lamp out here. So probably biblically, if it was either a lamp like this or maybe one of those beautiful torches you see in Indiana Jones movies. And so either way, the idea is going to be the same in the story that Jesus tells. It says in verse 2, 5 of them were foolish and 5 are wise. Well, how were they foolish? Because I don't want to be foolish. I want to be wise. I want to be ready. I want to be awake. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Essential to this lamp burning well is that there is oil. There is oil at the bottom of this lamp. Now, if you were really wise, you would also have another gallon that you bought from Amazon Prime, right? And so you have that gallon as well. So you have the oil in your lamp, and then you have extra oil ready to go. Why? You're meeting the bridegroom. You can't wait for the party. There's going to be a great party. So I am waiting in expectation. Oil in the Bible always meant the Holy Spirit. It always meant that there was a power of God. You were bringing the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. Yeah, I think people are running around these days with a lamp and no oil. A Christian body and no power of the Holy Spirit. That's why our young people don't follow Christ anymore, because they don't see the power of God. You know what got me saved? The power of God. I saw the exemplified power of God in a service, and I ran up to the altar because on the inside I was dead, and I knew that I needed the oil of the Holy Spirit in my life. In ninth grade at South Terrebonne High School, we need the power of God. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need to go out there with boldness and say, this is who Christ is. Light your lamps. Be ready. It says this, but in verse 4, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. In verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed. So it's an example, again, that Jesus is coming, is not delayed. He is waiting. He wants more people to come to the party. He is waiting. If it's 2,000 years, if it's 3, if we're at the end of the end, bring more people with you. So he is waiting, and it says this, but the wise, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Now, didn't he just say in 24 to stay awake? Didn't he just say that? You know, he just said, stay awake, be ready. And what do? They sleep. Remind you of the disciples, Garden of Gethsemane, right? Stay awake, pray with me, and they go to sleep. He says that 3 times to them, and eventually they just go to sleep. And he says, could you not be ready? There is a perspective, I think, is that most of us in the room, if we are honest, there have been times in our lives where we have been sleeping spiritually. I when I gave my life to the Lord, I thought, well, I'll never fall away. Everything will be a mountain. I want to tell you, there are some valleys in this Christian walk. There are some times where intentionally or unintentionally, I have been sleeping. I have. I haven't been pressing in. I haven't been focused on the Word. I haven't been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just being honest. And so sometimes in our walk, there are times where we will go to sleep. And today Jesus is saying, wake up, wake up. Wake up. Church, it is time to wake up. I love when I go into my rooms, and if I'm a good mom, which is not much of the time. And so and when I go into the rooms, and I'm really nice to those girls, and I say, baby, wake up, and I shake them, and I love on them, and I say, I feel like Jesus is saying to us, it is time, church, to wake up. It is time to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. It is time to have the power and the anointing of God back in your life. It is time to press in. This is not time to quarantine yourself with the Lord. This is time to dig in deeper. This is a time to say, give me 6 more months so I can follow God even more so that I can tell the people about Him. It is time to wake up. It is time to wake up. There's so many reasons why we fall asleep. We fall asleep because we're tired, right? I mean, the spiritual walk is tiring. If you do it right, I get tired. I get tired. Sometimes we have a distrust. You might like not trust people within the church, or you've been hurt inside of a church, so there's a distrust there. Sometimes we fall asleep because we're disappointed, right? Like you thought this was going to happen and it didn't. You thought you were going to see 2020 in 2020, and it's not been that way. And so you're disappointed. And so you see that there's a truth. Sometimes we fall asleep because we're superficial. We like the things of this world more than the things of God. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we fall asleep because we have lost the courage to hold on one a little bit longer. We didn't know that it was going to happen, so we just gave up and we're falling asleep. Have to understand, we fall asleep because we are frustrated. You ever been frustrated because there's no breakthrough? You've been praying for your kid and your kid's as crazy as ever. You've been praying for that situation in your job and it's worse than it ever was. And so you fall asleep. Well, if God's not going to move, I'm just going to fall asleep. We have all slept at one time or another. We have. We have been sleeping to God. But according to the parable, the story, everyone in the story fell asleep. Not just the wise, but the wise and the foolish. Both of them fell asleep. And it's as if the saying, falling asleep, a lot of times, though not good, is inevitable, right? God still used the disciples that fell asleep. He did. He can still use you if you've fallen asleep. He's just telling you, wake up. He's just saying it's time to wake up. There was a grace for those that are sleeping. There is a grace for you. There is a grace for you whenever you say, you know what? I've been disappointed by the world or the church. I've been disappointed. I've not been fully alert. There is a grace for you. Aren't you glad that you serve a God of grace who is speaking gently to us right now? It is time to wake up. But here's the thing, though, there's a grace for you if you are sleeping. There is no grace for those who are not ready. And there's a difference. You can be sleeping and it's time to wake up. But if you were not ready, check out the story. Keep on reading. It says this. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. So you can see the cry. The kingdom is coming. That God is coming down on a cry. The cry goes out. He's here. Go meet him. And so let your lamps burn brightly as you go. That would have been the idea. They would have lit up the way for the Lord. And that's what they were there to do. This is going to happen someday. And we are about to see in the rest of the parable that not everyone was ready. Check it out, verse 7. It says this, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. So not only did they have oil, which is good, they also trimmed their lamps. Now, the importance of lamp trimming, because I'm an expert, I'm not. But for today, let's just pretend. And so the importance of lamp trimming is at the end of this is gunk. I'll call it gunk, funk, bad relationships. I will call this not being in the place that you need to be at. I will call this disappointment, discouragement, depression, oppression. I will call this all kinds of things. The importance of having a lamp that burns correctly is that before you light it, that you would trim it. So as you would trim it, you're getting off all the things that are not supposed to be a part of your life. And as you're looking at this, you're saying, you know what? That relationship is no good for me. So I'm going to have to get rid of it. Because the Bible says to not be unequally yoked. So I'm going to get rid of that gunk in my life. You know, that music that I've been listening to ain't ain't no good for me. And so I'm going to get rid of that thing because I need to be a follower of Jesus. That show, that social media, let me pick on you for a moment. And so all those things that we've been looking at and seeing and watching, all those things are gunk, and it is time to trim. If you want to burn for Jesus, not only do you need the oil of the Holy Spirit, you need to be trimming the gunk out of your life. You need to be trimming this wimp and saying, okay, it is time for me to burn bright. And so look at it. The wise. Now, I want to be a wise person. I want to follow Christ with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. And so he says it. Then in verse 7, all those ladies rose and trimmed their lamps. So they had oil and they're trimming, oil and trimming. You know, you just keep on doing that, right? Burn bright, burn bright. Get some more oil, start trimming, and burn bright, burn bright. It says in verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Now, this is interesting because they don't. A lot of times we will try to help somebody out of their mess, but you know what? You got to trim for yourself. You got to bring oil for yourself. My job is not to trim and give you oil. My job is to shine bright for Christ, and that as I do that, people will come in to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so notice in verse 7, it says that. It says in verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, not today. And so it said, since, that was my version, it says, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were what? Somebody say that word. It's ready. Those who were ready, those who had the oil, those who had trimmed their wicks, they went in with the marriage feast and as the door and the door was shut. So again, the scriptures get a little bit scary because Jesus said it in his sermon and now he's saying it in his story. If you're not ready, if you're not ready, look what happens in verse 11. It says afterwards, not only was the door shut, afterwards the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord. Lord, that is a sign when someone in Jewish culture would call out twice. If you said, Lord, you knew that person. But if you said, Lord, Lord, there was an intimacy. That is a sign of relationship. So there is a people that used to know God, but now they weren't ready. They used to follow Christ, but now they don't. And look at them crying out, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. Someone who knew Christ, followed Christ because there was no oil, because they weren't trimming their lamps. They were not getting ready for the coming of Christ. And I'm just saying, it may be today, it may be 10 days from now, it may be 10 years, 1,000 years, but we are to live ready. We are to live with oil. We are to live trimming our lamps. The way that you trim your lamps, all 10 had a job to do, didn't they? All 10, what were their jobs? To light their lamps and get ready for the bridegroom of Christ. Your job is the same as my job, is that we would be telling of the good news of Jesus Christ in our life, that we would all have a lamp in our life. I don't care if you go to school, high school, if you're in college, wherever you are, whatever place you are, your job is to take this lamp in your life and to look at it and have some extra oil. So you got your oil in your back and you're ready. You've got the oil. And not only that, you are trimming all the gunk off of your life. You are trimming the bad things from your life. And here it says that you have been appointed to shine when he comes. You have been appointed, so now is the time to wake up. Five of them did not take that call serious. Five of them were foolish, the Bible says. It says that they did not do what they were called to do. They knew to take oil. They did not. They were candles without wicks, torches without fires, and light bulbs without electricity. It doesn't make any sense. And lamps without trimming. So what do you do? See, the heart of the message is that you would get ready. You've got to get back to a place where you are right with the Lord. I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, that's always prayer. I just spend some time. I open up these sanctuaries and I pray and ask the Lord, God, help me to wake up and to be ready. If there is no growth in your life, if you haven't been growing lately, I feel like Jesus is saying, wake up. It's time to wake up. This is not a time to sleep. 6 months into quarantine, not a time to sleep. Not a time to go to sleep on your calling and your anointing and your appointed. It's not a time for that. It is a time for you to carry the lamp. Look in verse 13. And so this is the end of part of the sermon. Actually, the sermon goes on. But in verse 13, we stop here today. And so he says, here's what you do. Watch therefore. Everybody say watch. So you're waking up and you're ready and you're watching therefore. For you know neither the day or the hour. You are getting ready to face the one. And he says, have your lamp ready. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take out all the lights in the sanctuary. We're going to play the synth. And Ted, if you could come up to the stage. Now, the importance of lamps. When we do this correctly, whenever we sort of look at the call of God on our lives. I don't do this because I'm afraid I would burn the whole place down. And it would probably be true. Ted's like, yeah. See, when the world gets darker, and biblically we can say that it is, right? I mean, we can say that we're nearer, one day nearer. I don't know the day or the hour. I feel like you're going to do it too. That wick is fire. There we go. Oh, my goodness. Woo! I hope we don't set the place on fire. But the idea of the lamp is that it would burn. See, the reason why we're trimming, the reason why we're filled with oil, the reason why we're doing that, the Bible even says that, remember Jesus in his first sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't put it on a lampstand, but what do you do? If you could do that for me, because I can't even see it, but if you would raise it. See, whenever you raise it, when you're ready, when you're awake, whenever you're looking at like the bride of Christ, see, the idea, your job, if you choose to accept it, Hope Community, is that you would go, and as the world gets darker, you're not consumed by the darkness, you're not pressured by the darkness. Because why? Because you're a person that says, I am filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and not only that, I have trimmed my lamp, and I am ready and waiting for the bridegroom. And if the world gets darker, because I can't make any promises. Somebody asked me the other day, you think it's going to get better? And I said, I have absolutely no idea, but I know that I'm to be awake and ready. No matter what happens tomorrow, in 2 weeks, 2 months, at the elections, I don't care. I am called to be a believer in Christ, and I am to be awake and ready for the second coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes with every head bowed and eyes closed today. If today you say, you know what? I have been sleeping on my call. I have been sleeping on my purpose, my anointing. I have not been shining my light. Would you just lift your hands? And I can't see you in the room, so this will be good. This will just be between you and God. And today, if you say, God, I just want you to wake me back up again. Man, you remember when God used to speak to you? He would wake you up in the middle of the night, and you would listen, and you would throw on a worship song, and you would get into the presence of God. That's where he wants you again. He wants you full of the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you trimming all the junk and gunk out of your life. Get rid of it. It's just going to lead to your death and your destruction. And instead say, I am going to shine the light of Jesus Christ. With your hands raised, God, just see us in the room. God, our hands are raised before you. And we are praying that you will wake us. God, even 2 months ago when we started praying again 24 hours, I feel like the word that you spoke to us was wake up. God, we can't leave sleeping anymore. We can't live without your presence in our lives. God, we can't be consumed by the darkness. We have got to shine a light. God, help anyone in this room that has been, like the parable says, not wise. They are not ready. Playing games. They're thinking that this is just another day, another moment, God, rather than saying, this could be the end. And they're waiting. God, so help us to be awake. God, I pray that you will fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we are praying for that. God, we are praying for the giftings and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, because these last times are going to be a dark time, and God, they need to see someone shining the light of Christ. God, help us. For those in the room that need to trim our lamps, we have attached on to something that is no good for us. God, I pray right now, in the sound of my voice, that we would begin to release those attachments. God, those things that we've been attached to, God, I pray that you will begin to release that in the power and name of Jesus. God, that addiction is gone in the name name of Jesus. God, that assignment is gone. That relationship, Lord God, I pray that when we walk out of this door, that we would say, today, God, I am choosing to let my light shine before all men. And when I do that, you will draw men to yourself. So God, all we have to do is go out of that door and shine for you, and you will bring people into the house of the God. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that your promise, God, is that as we stay awake, that we will be ready. So help us and give us strength. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen. We love you guys. We pray that God moves on your heart, on your life. Talk to someone that you don't know. Talk to them. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name. This smells good. Amen. And so go out there and shine a light. Be awake and ready in Jesus' name. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. We got all kinds of great discipleship groups this Wednesday, 6:30. See you soon. Amen.